Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hello and welcome to a brand new Arseblog Arsecast right here on arseblog.com. How are you? Why are you doing an Arsecast, I hear you say? Because you've got to record an Arsecast extra today, isn't that right? Yes, that is right. I am recording an Arsecast extra with James this afternoon, but as a special bonus podcast edition, now that I'm back in Ireland and back into the swing of things, I thought I'd find out a bit more about our new signing, Dani Ceballos. He joined from Real Madrid last week on a season-long loan, so we're going to talk about him primarily in this podcast. My voice, as you can hear, is still a bit croaky. I'm jet lagged. I don't really know what day it is, what time it is, or anything else. However, let's do it. Let's find out about Dani Ceballos. And with me to discuss that is the editor of Football España and also the author of a brand new book coming out next month called The Frying Pan of Spain, Sevilla versus Real Betis. Real Betis is the club at which Dani Ceballos started his career. I'm delighted to welcome back to the show Colin Miller. Hi, Colin.
Hi, Andrew. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. Let's talk first a bit about Dani Ceballos and his career progression. Interestingly, he's been on the books of both Sevilla and Real Betis, something that is of great interest to you because you've got a book coming out about that. We'll talk about it in a little bit. But as a player, how has his career progressed?
Yeah, as you said, Ceballos actually started out his career in the Sevilla youth system, but he had some health problems early on as a child, and he ended up dropping out, and then he was picked up by Real Betis across town, and it was really at Betis where his potential was fully realised. You know, he skipped the traditional route of progressing through the club's B team. He was elevated straight into the first team squad due to his obvious talent, really. He quickly established himself as a star of the club, even though he was still only 19 or 20 years old, and he was a star for the Spanish under 21 team as well. And it was really within that context that Real Madrid signed him in 2017. They triggered his release clause, which was around about 16 million euros, which was seen as an absolute bargain. It was a little bit contentious at Betis because they thought that he was going to renew his contract there and pretty essentially double the clause that he had, but he didn't. He ended up going to Madrid. And probably from that point on, I suppose most people are probably going to be slightly more familiar with his career, although it has arguably stalled a little bit in the past two seasons. Yeah. Due to lack of first team opportunity, and that's probably what has really fueled this loan move.
Yeah, so I mean, can we look into why exactly it is that Zinedine Zidane has decided that Ceballos is a player he can do without for next season? Obviously, Madrid have made a lot of signings so far this summer. There was talk that they would be willing to do a permanent deal to see him leave for around 50 million euros. That, I think, is out of Arsenal's price bracket, certainly this summer when they're looking to spend their money elsewhere. But, you know, is there something about him that didn't necessarily convince Zidane? He played fairly frequently last season, but of course it was a really poor campaign for Madrid overall.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the two seasons that Ceballos has had, you know, he's only started 17 league games out of a possible 76. So that really shows just how tough he's found it. And actually, the majority of those league starts were under both Julen Lopetegui and then Santiago Solari. So the sort of return of Zidane in March certainly didn't help his case. And let's establish this. I mean, Ceballos is a raw diamond of a player. You know, we're talking about a genuine potential superstar. He has all the qualities, all the assets, all the natural talent to really make it at the very top level. And I think that if he applies himself properly, he's certainly the future of Spain's midfield at international level. And he certainly has the potential to be that for any club side in the world that he wants it to be. Now, I mean, we sort of spoke about his stardom at under 21 level. It was, you know, he was named player of the tournament at the Euros in 2017. And that was sort of just before his move to Madrid. And again, he starred this summer. But like the move to Madrid, we're obviously using the benefit of hindsight here, but it was a clear error of judgment, because when you look at the situation that was at Madrid, there's a lot of deep-rooted problems whereby you've got guys like Luka Modric, Toni Kroos and Casemiro who are holding those three midfield positions, and in those three players, Zinedine Zidane has complete and unwavering trust. You know, they're the guys that he can rely on, just as with Marcelo, as Sergio Ramos, Karim Benzema, Dani Carvajal. These are the guys who essentially won three successive European Cups for him. You know, he has complete trust in them.
Yeah.
And at Madrid, these situations are always, there's always an element of political power play going on, as it were. You know, Ceballos, he's viewed very favourably by the club's president, Florentino Perez. And this is similar in a way to the Gareth Bale situation, whereas Zidane probably looks at those two players, he doesn't really get on with them at a personal level. They don't really fit his ideal system. And Zidane probably would have been happy to see Ceballos depart permanently this summer, you know.
Yeah.
But Perez and the club, they stood firm. And I think that unlike the Bale situation, the fans definitely back Ceballos here. And just finally, I mean, this has probably led to a situation whereby, you know, Ceballos hasn't been getting a fair crack of the whip at Madrid. He's become frustrated. He's made a few comments in the press, which were probably a bit critical of the situation. They irritated Zidane a wee bit more, and the opportunities he's been given in the first team, he's almost looked a little bit too keen to impress. You know, he's always looked like he really wanted to make his mark. I think that that's probably a little bit of an indicator that he still lacks a little bit of self-discipline, which is probably as well his biggest, what is his biggest criticism at the moment. But I mean, bear in mind, this guy's only 22 years old, you know. He's a guy, he's from Andalusia, you know, and as I write about in my book and everything else, I mean, this is an area which is very passionate. And Ceballos is very passionate. He's a fiery player. You know, he wears his heart on his sleeve. And I think he's got plenty of attributes that Arsenal fans are going
to
love.
Yeah, so, I mean, when we talk about what he might bring to the team and what he might contribute to the Premier League, you know, from a loan point of view, he's either going out on loan to really impress Real Madrid to get a place back there, or it becomes a shop window kind of loan for him. So sometimes you see a player go on loan and you wonder, you know, do they have what it takes? Are the reasons for this loan sufficient? Is he just going to play because he just wants to play? But for Ceballos at 22 years of age, this is a key point in his career, isn't it? Where it's either going to get him, you know, back into the Madrid side or make the powers that be at Madrid think, okay, he does have a future here, or drive real interest in him, whether it's from Arsenal, if he likes it at Arsenal or in the Premier League or other clubs across Europe. So the motivation factor for him is very high.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think this is a move which I must confess took me a little bit by surprise. Not the fact that Madrid were prepared to loan him out, even though I think that's a mistake on the part of the club. I think it's a move that's going to hurt them next season. But the reason I was a bit surprised was that, you know, was mentioned Ceballos, he's from Andalusia, and I think Andalusian players probably appear to struggle a little bit disproportionately when going abroad compared to some others.
Is there any reason for that in particular, or is it because that region of Spain is, insular is maybe not the right word, but it's quite, what's the word I'm looking for here? There goes my jet lag brain when I'm talking to you about this. But you know, the players from there, they don't seem to always travel as well.
Yeah. I think in generally, we can generalize a little bit here, but they're probably, you know, Andalusians are typically very family oriented people. You know, they're very keen on their traditions and their home comforts. They're generally very significant for them. And I think a very good example of that is Jesus Navas. He's currently the captain of Sevilla. Most listeners are probably familiar from Manchester City, but he notoriously got very homesick earlier in his career. When he got called up to the Spanish youth matches, he only reluctantly agreed to actually go because he found out he'd be bunking with his friend Sergio Ramos, who's also from Seville. So you look at that, and Ceballos, he's from the Sevillian town of Utrera, which he actually shares with the late José Antonio Reyes. And that's just outside the city of Seville. It has a population of just 50,000. So whenever Ceballos was going up, Reyes was an idol for him, essentially. And Ceballos spoke to Reyes's dad before he joined Arsenal. He said about how he was ensured that this is the right club for him. This was going to be a club where he was looked after, where he's going to be afforded the conditions in which he could thrive. And I think ultimately, the most important thing as well is that Unai Emery's there. Unai's going to help him, and he's also said that he's going to be able to promise him 40 or more matches within the season. And whenever you factor in Europa League football, this is going to be Ceballos is going to be a player who if he avoids injury, is going to be a regular in the team, and that's definitely going to help with any sort of adaptation process. He's not going to be somebody who's sidelined or who's on the fringes should all go to plan.
Yeah.
And there's also already a Spanish contingent of players at the club, and I don't think that was necessarily the case when Reyes came in 16 years previously. So those things are going to help. I think ultimately you have to look at this. This is a brave move for Ceballos. It's somewhat of a statement from Arsenal, even though this is just certainly initially a short-term move, because there's no question over Ceballos' ability, his potential. And I think it would have been easy for Ceballos to move back to Betis this summer or to move back to Sevilla this summer because there was interest in him from both those clubs. It could have been easy for him to stay in Spain to prove what he can show to those clubs, to Madrid and to the Spanish press. But he's decided to take this plunge and to go abroad. And I think he's to be applauded for that. I don't think it was an easy decision for him, but I think it was a brave one. And I mean, it's very hard to tell just how this is going to affect long term. I mean, if he stars for Arsenal this season, what Madrid are going to think? Is Zidane still going to be at Madrid? All these factors are going to come into play. But I think Arsenal have certainly got themselves an absolutely exceptional talent.
All right. Well, I mean, the fact that there is a Spanish contingent, Hector Bellerin, Nacho Monreal, of course, and the coaching staff, along with Unai Emery, will definitely help his adaptation. So let's talk a little bit about what kind of a player he is, because if you look at him from a pure numbers point of view, he hasn't played a great deal for Real Madrid, but over the course of something like, I think, 100 La Liga games, he has 7 goals and 4 assists, which is not really that great if you're looking for him to be a player to perhaps fill something of the gap that Aaron Ramsey has left since his departure to Juventus. You talked about untapped potential or having the potential to be a really good player. Is that a part of his game that has yet to be fully developed, or is he a different kind of a player? Is he somebody who will link more between the defense and the attacking side of the game? What are his best qualities, and what can and should Arsenal fans expect him to contribute?
Well, I think first and foremost, Ceballos is the type of player who's going to get fans on their feet. He's got the ability to light up a game. He can play in a deeper midfield role where he can dictate the tempo of the play a little bit more. But I've always thought he's looked most at home and most effective in a slightly more advanced position, whereby he can take players on. He can draw the opposition out of their positions. And he can open up spaces for other teammates. And that's certainly something that he can do. And again, there's been a few questions. Is this a guy who's going to adapt to the sort of rough and tumble of the Premier League? And I would say there's not many doubts about that, actually, because despite his somewhat wary figure and frame, he's actually a really tough competitor. He's very familiar with being targeted and sometimes manhandled by opposition teams. So I actually think that in many ways he's an ideal replacement for Aaron Ramsey. I think he's definitely got the natural talent, and whilst his numbers in terms of goals and assists output might not be the most obvious, I'm not necessarily sure that that's exactly what he contributes. I think what he does is more he generates the moves that then lead to goals and that lead to the game opening up slightly. And I think that there's a little bit of a question mark over consistency, but that's naturally going to be there if he hasn't been getting first team football. I don't see a reason why he cannot star in the Premier League. and immediately become one of its most highly rated midfield players. And again, he's somebody that can play in a number of midfield positions, and I think that's just a natural strength of his, and I think that's something that fans are going to see over the course of the season.
His passing range, talk to me a little bit about that and his ability on the ball in possession, because I think Arsenal fans have been looking for somebody in midfield to perhaps bring some of the qualities that we lost when Santi Cazorla left, and Cazorla, you know, is an exceptional, almost unique talent in terms of what he can do with a football. So I don't want to like heap that amount of pressure on Ceballos in that regard, but is that something that he can do? Are those shoes that he can come close to filling in terms of how he uses the ball?
Yeah, I think there's probably a slight difference in terms of, because Cazorla was obviously a player who was absolutely magnificent in terms of he was a magician on the ball. You know, he was an excellent technician, very technically gifted, and I think Ceballos encompasses those qualities too. Although I think his style of play is a little bit different. Cazorla was somebody who very much whenever he got the ball was very calm in possession. You know, he could slow things down and speed things up, and so it dictated the game in that sense. And while Ceballos does that, I think Ceballos is also more of a player who enjoys he's certainly capable of the passing range, and he's certainly capable of the technique, but I think he enjoys being on the ball a lot more and taking players on quite a bit more and driving the game a bit more, just making things happen. He tries to force the situation slightly more than I'd say Cazorla would, and I think in that sense he's probably a little bit more traditional in terms of a British style of play, and we said there about how that can maybe slightly help his adaptation to the Premier League. But he's a player that will try tricks, that he will try to maybe not embarrass his opponent, but certainly he's not going to shy away from pulling off moves that are a little that could be seen as audacious. He can take risks, you know, and he's, as I said about his bravery, he's not afraid to make his mark in a game and stamp his authority on it. And that, as I said, tends to attract a situation whereby teams try to take him out of the game, essentially, whether it's physically by man marking him or whatever else. So he's somebody that makes the opposition team think, and he's somebody that makes the opposition team change their plans. And again, whilst this is something that maybe didn't quite have its same impact at Real Madrid, this is something that could really have an impact in the Premier League, because he's somebody whose natural talent I think will naturally stand out. And I think it's somebody that if opponents don't get a handle of, they could very easily find themselves losing the midfield battle.
Yeah. Is there something to be said for giving him some responsibility in that, you know, you talked about how quickly he made his breakthrough at Real Betis. He didn't come through the B team. He was straight into the senior team and seemed obviously to relish that. And it got him ultimately a move to Real Madrid. At Real Madrid, there are senior players in front of him who Zidane and other coaches have had a bit more faith in, understandably so, because of their quality, I guess, when you're talking about the likes of Cruz and Modric, etc., etc. But for Spain in the under-21 European Championships this year, obviously Spain won it. He was the standout player in the previous tournament as well, where he would have just naturally had a bit more responsibility on the pitch placed in him by the coach. You know, is that part of what makes his qualities emerge?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that we spoke there about how at Real Madrid he became frustrated. He's somebody that, as I said, he's very passionate. So whenever he doesn't get afforded the opportunity or the prominence within a team that he thinks he deserves, he tends to let that get to him a little bit. And I think maybe there's maybe a similarity to be drawn a little bit with how he conducts himself with possibly a younger Wayne Rooney, whenever he was at Everton and then Man United. Somebody who's very, very fiery. And whilst I think whereas with Rooney that sort of I'm not sure how the best way of describing this is, but that kind of the passion was contained and streamlined in a certain way. I don't think that's quite happened with Ceballos yet. You know, so by giving him the opportunity to really take control of a game and to really give him the prominence within a team, you know, like you're our man essentially, to be telling him that, I think that could add that extra little bit of maturity that he probably does need. Now, the important thing is that cannot be allowed then to curb what he already has, you know, because his game is essentially like you're going to take risks, you're going to run, and you're going to take people on, and everything else. You're going to try to dictate things. You're going to try to draw people in and everything else. So that in itself takes almost like this sort of childlike kind of innocence within the game, you know, that is something that maybe gets curbed a little bit within players, but it's something that fans really, really love to see. And it's something that, as I said, makes the game a lot more enjoyable to watch. So I think there needs to be a balance here, whereas, yes, Ceballos, we've spoken about his need to mature a little bit more. And also, but I think if he has the trust of his coach, and I think that if his trust of his teammates as well, I think that's very important for him. And you saw that at the under 21 level. And, you know, if that happens at Arsenal, and I don't see a reason why it wouldn't, then I don't see why he wouldn't be able to start.
A few people have raised the issue of his character, and you talk about him not being intimidated on the pitch. There's a sort of a social media history which doesn't necessarily reflect that well on him, where he talked about, you know, blowing up a stadium, and you know, he told Catalans to get out of the country, and, you know, this would never have happened under Franco. You know, I think how is that sort of thing viewed in Spain now? Is it put down to youthful indiscretion, lack of maturity? Is it something that he has? Is it something he's learned from? I don't think those tweets are available, but, you know, he made reference to the size of Iker Casillas's manhood and what have you. You know, 18-year-olds often say things that are a bit stupid and that they come to regret, but, you know, he's going to be working with a Basque coach, for example. That doesn't seem to have put Unai Emery off, but, you know, is there some worry about that side of him, or is that something that he, you know, looks to have matured from?
No, I don't think there's any real worry about that. And actually, it's quite rare, is it? Obviously, in Spanish football, you know, they love controversy. They love to stir things up a little bit. and that actually is something that hasn't really been covered at all in the past few years. It's something that I think people recognize the fact that whenever Ceballos sent the majority of those messages, he was, you know, he was a teenager. He was obviously grown up not quickly enough, but, you know, this is all, it's all about a maturity process. And I think whenever players are then exposed to the wider kind of culture and the wider sense of outside their own little comfort zone, you know, and Ceballos has gone on to play with many more players at underage level for Spain. You know, he's been with the senior team, and obviously at Real Madrid too. And the move over to England is just going to speed that up. You know, he's going to be exposed to a lot more than what was the case earlier on in his career. And again, you know, maturity is obviously going to be a question. And he did, as I said earlier, you know, he made comments last year about Zinedine Zidane. Whenever he initially left the club, he said that, you know, that there was never much of a relationship, that I wasn't given a proper opportunity under him. And then whenever Zidane came back, there was quotes attributed to him that were pretty much saying, you know, this isn't good news for me. You know, this is something that's gonna kind of stall my progress, as it were. And that's something that didn't make sense for him to say, because obviously by saying that, he's not exactly going to get into Zidane's good books. And by going to the press, I mean, that's obviously a mistake. It shows a lack of maturity. It shows a lack of awareness of what he needs to do to really knuckle down and be impressed in his own way. And I think that, listen, you know, his situation at Madrid was unfair, but he should not have been going off and saying things like that. It shows that he probably hasn't been very well advised in his career. But listen, in terms of those sorts of comments, it certainly hasn't been anything that's come up publicly in the past few years. He appears really to have learned on that side of things, at least. Right. And again, you know, he's still only 22 years old, but I think this is a guy who's probably going to grow up a lot in the next season too, and being away from home is only going to accelerate that.
Yeah, well, look, if there's a communications team in the world that will ensure he doesn't say anything controversial in the next 12 months, it's the Arsenal one. Just finally on Ceballos, how is the news of his transfer being received in Spain? You know, what's is it being viewed as a real opportunity for him, or kind of a step down, even though, you know, regardless regardless of where you go, very few places, you know, have the kind of history and prestige as Real Madrid. So how is it being viewed in the press there?
Generally, the reaction has been one of probably slight disappointment in terms of the Madrid. I think Madrid fans are certainly disappointed that Ceballos has been allowed to go. The media had kind of drummed it up for a while, although I think that the fact that there had been a sense that Madrid could have been willing to sell Ceballos permanently, although I think his performances this summer at the under 21 championships probably ruled that out as an option altogether, certainly for now. But yeah, there's a sense of disappointment. There's a sense that this kind of, whilst it could be seen as a mistake, it also is sort of the Madrid strategy. I mean, they've spent over 300 million euros on transfers this summer, and there's been a lot of players who've subsequently left the club, and almost all of those players have been young Spanish players who have been very highly rated within their careers, but they haven't been able to see first team football at Madrid. So it's not just Ceballos who's affected. You've seen Marcus Llorente, who's gone to Atletico Madrid.
Yeah.
Teo Hernandez has joined Milan. Rael de Tomas has gone to Benfica, and there's been a host of others who've gone too. And also the sense that Marco Asensio has then suffered this sort of season-ending injury, as it were, against Arsenal in the friendly, ironically, and that was. That was something that people maybe thought, even though these two guys didn't play in the exact same positions, there's a real sense that there's an identity being lost here, because Madrid had really, under Florentino Perez, they kind of initially moved away from this policy of signing Galactico-style players, and they'd focused instead on signing all these sort of promising young Spanish players, and ultimately the model failed because they weren't given the first-team opportunities that maybe they thought they deserved, and that... In a sense, clash. That was the initial clash with Zidane, who was picking the team, and you know, he wasn't really prepared to introduce these guys a wee bit more regularly. So yeah, I think there's a sense that this was probably an inevitable decision. I think most Madrid fans would want to see Ceballos back in the team next year. Although whether, as we've spoken before, there's so many factors that's dependent upon. But yet, this is again, it just is worth stressing just how much potential this guy has. And I think of all the players to leave Madrid this summer, I would probably go as far as saying that he is the standout candidate. I still cannot see why I don't know why he's not being called upon for first team duties at Madrid next season, especially with the form of their current midfielders. And as I said, I really do think this is a very, very, very impressive deal from Arsenal. It's a statement signing, and it could be the difference next season between a top three, a top four spot, and again missing out. So yeah, I think Madrid fans and the Madrid media recognise that too, but there's a sense that this was very much an inevitable situation from their end.
All right. Well, look, it sounds very promising from an Arsenal point of view, because there are places up for grabs in that midfield. And certainly if a player of his character and potential can really kick on and develop his game, it can only be a good thing for Arsenal. Before we go, Colin, you've got a new book coming out on the 12th of August. It's called The Frying Pan of Spain, Sevilla versus Real Betis, Spain's hottest football rivalry. And people will, you know, observers of La Liga will think, well, what about the Barcelona-Real Madrid rivalry, which we've all seen play out on TV, you know, the Ronaldo-Messi thing, and just traditionally El Clásico is the one that everybody looks at as the biggest rivalry in Spain. But, you know, there's a separation of some hundreds of kilometres between Barcelona and Real Madrid, and it's predicated on them being traditionally the two biggest clubs in Spain. Betis and Sevilla almost side by side. What exactly is this book going to tell us about that rivalry?
Yeah, and as you said, the book's called The Frying Pan of Spain, and that is what the city of Seville is referred to within the nation, and that's obviously the theme that I played on in terms of its football rivalry as well. And obviously we've spoken a lot about Dani Ceballos and how Ceballos is a player who's very, you know, he's very passionate, he's fiery, and he'd be quite emotional too, and those are qualities that sum up Andalusians in general. They sum up the city of Seville, and they sum up both football clubs and Real Betis and Sevilla and the rivalry that they share. So I've tried to explain why by delving into the sort of the Spanish culture and the footballing culture too, that why this game's so special, why these two clubs are so significant within Spain itself. And I think that when you know, people are very, very familiar with Sevilla over the past decade, obviously winning the five Europa League titles, which is, you know, unprecedented in European football. But sometimes when you mention Real Betis, a lot of people from outside of Spain are like, Real who? And a lot of people aren't even aware that they play in Seville, and that there's this really, really incredible derby with Sevilla. So I've tried to explain just why this is such a massive deal within Spain. And I think as well, that most Spanish football fans, whilst they're always very sort of proud of their own club and the own sort of rivalries that they have, a lot of them look to Seville and they're like, yeah, you know, that's the real one that stands out. So I've tried to explain that within the book, and just why this game's so significant, why the two clubs are very authentic, as it were, because we mentioned Barcelona and Real Madrid, and obviously a lot of the media coverage sort of gravitates towards them. But then there's a sense as well, if you go to a Madrid game, if you go to a game at the Camp Nou, that, you know, there's so many, yeah, and it's not, this is not the fault of the clubs, but there's an overwhelming number of tourists that go there, and there's certainly a feeling that this is very much a kind of packaged experience, certainly in terms of a match day point of view. Whereas if you go to a Seville derby, certainly, but even a standard Sevilla or Real Betis home game, it's a very authentic experience. You know, this is, you're surrounded by season ticket holders, you're surrounded by people who live in the city, who breathe the clubs, and who are engulfed in this rivalry. You know, and the split. The thing is, as well, Seville's a city which is genuinely 50-50 split down the middle. And it's all these ingredients that make it a really fascinating mix, and it's unparalleled, I think, certainly within Western Europe, that situation and that backdrop. So yeah, I mean, I was lucky enough to go over and live there, and you know, sort of immerse myself in the rivalry and then within the clubs and the fans, and it's such a special experience. So I've tried to convey that through the book, but certainly there's also plenty of links to Arsenal as well. Obviously, Unai Emery, who's, you know, currently the manager of Arsenal, of course, and he was magnificently successful at Sevilla. And there's also quite a lot of time devoted to Jose Antonio Reyes as well, and, you know, obviously that news earlier this summer was something that really rocked the city again. And it sort of a sense as well that Reyes was a very close friend of Antonio Puerta, who died just 12 years previously, you know, aged just 22. And Seville, it's a city that seems to be continually hit by these tragic events, and again, this is something that sort of builds up, in the sense that it's a very emotional city anyway, and all these things, all these terrible tragedies essentially that have happened, it's something that kind of pulls at the heartstrings a little bit, and it really adds the layer of mutual respect between the clubs, and they always come together when something like this happens. But there's no sense that there's any passion or anything that's lost within the rivalry itself by that. In fact, it's just added to because of that. So yeah, it's a really unique experience, and I implore anybody who hasn't been to Seville, who hasn't been to the games, to go out there certainly and take it in, and yeah, to get a copy of the book as well.
Hopefully, of course.
Hopefully people enjoy it, and hopefully it does it justice, because yeah, it's something that I've devoted a lot of time to, and yeah, it's a very special occasion.
All right, well, it really is an amazing city. If you've never been, you really should try and get there. And if you can get there for a derby, and you can get yourself a ticket, more to the point, make sure that happens. It's published by Pitch Publishing Limited. It's available on the 12th of August. It's called The Frying Pan of Spain: Sevilla versus Real Betis, Spain's hottest football rivalry. Best of luck with the book, Colin, and thank you very much indeed for giving us the background on Dani Ceballos.
Thanks so much for having me on, Andrew.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's a brand new year, and what better time to get going with that online store you've been thinking of? Those "I was there when Arsenal actually scored a goal" t-shirts would fly off the shelves right now. And to get yourself up and running, you need Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way through to the did we hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort with thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 a month trial period at shopify.com/arsblog, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/arsblog now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/arsblog. That was Colin Miller. You can follow him on Twitter at @Miller_Colin. That is at @Miller_Colin. And the book, you can pick that up when it comes out in August. Sounds like a cracker. Something to add to, I'm sure, your already extensive football reading list. Right, I'm going to leave it there. This afternoon, I will be recording an Arscast Extra with James. That'll be available probably around 5 p.m. UK time. In the meantime, take it easy. Thanks, as ever, for listening. Catch you on the next one. Until then, cheers. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.